to the Wine or Milk podcast, where each week we rewatch and review nostalgic movies and media from our childhood to see if it aged like wine or like milk. And this is our last episode of our Christmas week, and we are watching my all-time favorite Christmas movie, potentially my all-time favorite movie, Christmas Vacation.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Thank you.
Not to be confused with other Christmas vacations.
Are there other movies called Christmas Vacation?
I don't think so. No.
That would be blasphemy.
It's kind of like Band-Aid, right? It's the brand, but it's also now a thing. Christmas Vacation is just the whole thing.
It is. It's its own entity. But yeah, like I said, I'm addicted to this movie. It's probably my longest running holiday tradition. I watch it every single year since I was like very young.
Mm-hmm. And now we watch it together every year.
Yep. It kicks off Christmas for me. It is Christmas when I watch this movie. I think this movie captures the spirit of getting into Christmas really, really nicely, because a lot of it takes place well before Christmas. And so for me, I kind of go along that journey and get hyped for Christmas as well.
Don't they show time passing with an advent calendar too?
Yeah, it's so good.
So it's like made for you, this movie, basically.
Yeah. And as you were saying that, I had like in my head a immediate reaction hearing the music that plays every time they're opening the little doors.
The little advent calendar
ding,
doors.
Ding, 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 ding.
Sounds like the Rugrats to me. That's all I hear is Rugrats.
I could almost just go right into part two of this. Like, I could probably do a spot on synopsis recap of this film without watching it. I've watched it that much.
You know the scene in Parks and Rec where they're trying to get Leslie's debate going, but the cable is turned off and Ron's trying to start the cable back up and Andy does the play-by-play of all those movies?
Yeah, he's doing like Rambo and does he do Die Hard? I don't think he does Die Hard, but he definitely does Rambo.
Yeah, and he does like scene by scene reenactment. I think you could probably do that for this movie.
I think I could as well.
You could probably actually get paid to do that for people. It could be like a one-man show.
But yeah, I love it. I think it's a great Christmas story. I think it's wicked funny. It's got a great cast, really great plot, good music. It's got everything.
Yeah. So I had only seen this movie once growing up. Mm-hmm. My best friend who lived the next door, this was her family's movie. Mm-hmm. And I had only seen it once with them.
Before we started dating?
Yeah. And her mom was like shocked I had never seen it. She's like, you gotta see it, it's so good, it's so funny. And I remember watching it on the couch with my best friend and her mom, and then I didn't see it again for years until I was wrapped into your traditions.
Oh wow.
And now we watch it every year. One of my favorite Christmas movies now.
Yeah.
And I really didn't watch it a lot as a kid, only once.
It's so good. It's just so good. And I think what makes a really good Christmas movie is it's kind of timeless, where you can watch it no matter how old you are. Well, maybe not how old you are, but more
there's
like
some adult themes.
Yeah, there's some adult themes. So I rewound that one, but like more like
rewound
my take on that.
Oh, okay. I was a little like, wait, hold on, what?
But like in 1989, this was really funny and really fun and like a good statement on Christmas, I think. And even though it's in some ways different, like the world is a very different place now, 31 years later. I think it still kind of holds up.
I think it is because it's about the relationships of family around Christmas. And that's still very relatable, right? Yeah. Of having family from out of town coming in, or seeing in-laws, or seeing your parents, or being a kid and kind of like, well, the scene with Russ when his grandma is like, I'll give you a quarter if you bring my things upstairs. And he like does like an eye roll, but he's like, oh yeah, grandma, I'll do it. Oh, a whole quarter. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It has a little bit for everyone in the family to relate to.
Yeah.
Or like Audrey, her eyes getting frozen and not wanting to go find the tree with her family. Like, there's so many things.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so good.
That are still relatable. And it does a good thing of touching on like good memories of Christmas and family time, but also kind of all the things that come up around the holidays when you're organizing an event with a lot of people. There's a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the central idea of this movie is we build up our holidays and our family reunions and stuff like that in our heads to be this amazing thing that's just so easy and fun. And then reality strikes. And it's not easy. It's not fun. Most people don't just get along, you know? It's exhausting.
I don't know.
And they kind of capture that.
I do think it's fun, though.
It is fun.
I know.
It is fun.
They kind of like amplify the negative pieces for comedy.
They definitely amplify them, but I think it works because it kind of, it plays off both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's hilarious. One thing that blew my mind when I was a kid, though, was that there were other vacation movies. So this is actually the third vacation movie. And when I was like a little kid, I just like never knew that. I didn't realize that till much later. I was like, what are you talking about?
I've never seen any other National Lampoon's movies.
We didn't watch the European Vacation?
No, I've never seen it. Oh. Never, ever seen any of the other ones.
I've seen a couple of them, but this is the one that I love, that I, like, stick with.
A kid in my French class in high school every day told me I looked like the daughter.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, you're a spitting image of her.
I don't know if I see that one.
I don't either, but that's sure. Just, that's what I associate with National. He's like, that girl from National Lampoon's. You look like her. But outside of that, no, I don't. This is the only piece of National Lampoon's anything that I have consumed.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of it, but this is my staple, my go-to, and my favorite Christmas film.
Do you have like a favorite scene that makes you extra nostalgic?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to pull.
Give me three that really stand out to you.
I think one that's surprising to me, but now, as especially as I've like gotten older, and like last year especially, we didn't see family for Christmas. The scene where he's in the attic like freezing to death while watching his old like family films.
God. His feet go through the ceiling and then he feels the heat coming up.
Yeah.
Puts his hands down to warm them.
It's really funny, but it's also just really sweet and touching.
That's nostalgia in a snapshot.
Yeah, I think that scene is really, really nice. One that always sticks out to me is the sledding scene. I love it. It's so outrageous, super funny. I mean, like every scene is fantastic. I can't pick three. I can't. The whole movie, you could put every scene in a hat and I could pick three out and I would be convinced that those could be the best three in the movie. They're all just that good.
Fair enough.
I just love them. I don't know. The pacing of the film is great. They find really good, unique ways of putting comedy in. Like I said, the acting is tremendous. Chevy Chase crushes this role. Randy Quaid, his estranged cousin
Eddie,
is also just unbelievably great in this film. Beverly D'Angelo, who plays Clark's wife, she's also wonderful. So, like, I don't know. Wonderful, wonderful cast. Super funny. I love the whole thing. So, yeah, if you can't guess, I'm going to guess that this is going to be a wine, by the way, because I just love it.
Oh, man. I think for me, some of my favorite scenes are obviously the scene where he's trying to light the house up after putting all the decorations on. So good. So good. And, like, the neighbors get blinded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is tremendous.
obviously, the scene, the classic shitter's full.
Yep.
So good. And he, like, ends up blowing up the block.
The face that he's making as he's pumping that into the sewer is just amazing.
So gross.
He looks so disgusting.
Cousin Eddie grosses me out so much.
The awful turtleneck he wears later on. Oh, my God.
His leisure suit.
Oh, it's just so good.
So good.
It's just so good.
Oh, and there's another one. Oh, my favorite is when the turkey gets all messed up and it's super dry and they're all dipping their turkey into their water glasses and like smiling through it.
Oh,
love
man.
That scene too. Oh, there's so many good ones.
There's
you can't
cat
really pick
food
three.
In the jello.
Well, she wraps her cat as a present. Hilarious.
Oh, man. It is literally stuffed to the brim with really wonderful scenes, but somehow it's not like exhausting. They found like just the right balance. They give you enough time to like breathe before like they launch you into the next outrageous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really funny. It's really great. And like I said, I do think it's really, really nostalgic and it captures like the spirit of this season really nicely for me, which I love.
Yeah, I know you said it was going to be a wine and it's going to be a wine. There's no way.
I've seen so recently. There's just no way.
Everyone should watch this movie.
Yeah.
We can just wrap from here.
I know, that's it.
Yeah.
Quickest episode ever. It is a wine. You should watch it no matter what. And happy holidays.
That's all she wrote. Oh, also.
Bingo.
All right. So since we are in agreement already, and I just really actually want to go and watch this right now, give me some facts.
Yeah. So it was directed by Jeremiah Cheshek. I think, produced by John Hughes and Tom Jacobson, which is really interesting because, and written by John Hughes, which is very interesting because the other Christmas movie that we watched Home Alone, Lost in New York was written by and produced by John Hughes as well. Kind of fun little coincidence there. And then it's got a ton of people in the cast, but the three main actors, the starring is Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and Randy Quaid. And then music by Angelo Badalamenti.
Crushed it.
And that actually is something I want to call out. The music is tremendous in this movie. And the opening credits, I'm calling it now, are the best in the whole. Out of everything we've watched for this series, these are the best.
When I asked you your favorite piece, I thought you were going to talk about the opening credits, to be honest.
They're really good.
All I remember from the opening credits is Santa burns his butt on the fireplace, like, super hard.
The best part of the opening credits is when he jumps on the couch to try and get through the skylight. And then just busts through the roof. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, man.
It's like a little short in and of itself.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really well done.
I also love the person who sings the opening song.
The opening song is so good. Like, it's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
You didn't mention that in our drink break last week.
I should have. So, I should have.
Shame. Shame on you, Kyle Mendez. Kyle.
And it has another great, great, great song, Malakaliki Maka.
Yes, that scene. That's the scene.
The scene that's is so good.
The maybe not family-friendly scene.
Yep. And all the swearing.
Is there swearing in this? Oh, I guess he says shitter's full. So. Yeah.
There's a few swears, but
there's no F's though. I don't think. Are you mentally playing the movie in your head right now?
I am. I'm like fast forwarding through all the scenes. I don't think there's an F.
Yeah.
There's a good amount of shits though.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a bodily function.
Oh man. Yeah. But that's Christmas Vacation. It came out on December 1st, 1989, just in time to take advantage of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brisk 97 minutes. And this is actually a little bit surprising to me. It was a $25 million budget and it made $72.9 million at the box office. I feel like that's not as much as I would have guessed.
No, but it's like a cult classic. So I think it actually continues to make a lot of money.
Way more
than a lot of other movies.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still money coming in from this movie.
Yeah.
This is probably funding all of Chevy Chase's retirement.
Probably. And actually, interesting, I said it was written by John Hughes. Wikipedia is telling me he based it on a short story he wrote called Christmas 59, which was a short story he published in the National Lampoon. And then they later made it into this movie, which is pretty cool.
I want to read the short now. I wonder if the short is just him trying to buy the Christmas tree.
And
flipping off the driver and getting into a road race. Oh, look, kids, a deer. Oh, that's not an adult. That's an adult thing.
He flips the middle the bird. Finger? Oh, it's not that bad.
Well, that's kind of an F. Kind of. You
kind
know?
Of an F, it means
F you, so.
But yeah.
Sign language F.
Sign language F. But yeah, that is Christmas Vacation. Super, super excited to go watch it. And let's see if it aged like mulled wine. Or eggnog.
Yo, let's actually get eggnog for this. So, and drink it while
Have the moose cups.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In our moose cups, we can do that while watching this movie.
Yep, great idea.
Nailed it. Let's go get let's rename Luna Snots.
I'm not going to go that far. That was basically exactly how I remembered it.
I don't even know why you had to watch it.
I know. It was exactly how I remembered it. But I will say it was really fun to go into it, like trying to have a more critical eye and like think about the film as a film, how it aged. I think it's way grandiose to like say we're movie reviewers, but like pretend I'm like actually trying to review the movie instead of just enjoy it. It was fun to do it because I got different things out of it, I think. I appreciated different characters more, stuff like that. So that part was fun.
You're talking about a critical eye over here, and I'm just... I was just having fun watching it. I don't know. I was just enjoying myself.
Well, I wanted to take it serious and, like, make sure that it wasn't just nostalgia or, like, comfort making me like this movie. And I was like, okay, let's really digest it and see if it holds up. And you'll have to wait and see to see what I think.
There's no way that you're gonna ever say this is a milk.
I mean, hey, maybe I could surprise you, right? There's surprise left in our marriage.
And not here. Not in this department, that's for sure. Yeah, I guess since this is one of your favorites, you wanted to be more objective, but I don't know. I just had a good time watching it.
It really is easy to like.
My notes for likes and dislikes are very short, so.
I have one. No, I have two dislikes for the film. I have two minuses.
That might be a record. Wow, I'm so glad you were so critical and were able to pull out two dislikes.
A record? I normally have like 80.
I know.
Oh, it's a record of how few?
Yes. How many nitpicks are we going to have with this movie?
Yeah, not many.
That's what I figured.
But yeah, it was really fun. I was happy to rewatch it. I'm just going to get this part because we're about to jump into the synopsis. God, those opening credits are so good.
I'm glad you let off with that instead of interrupting me like the second I opened my mouth about opening credits.
So the movie starts with open. I loved them!
That's what I was anticipating.
I looked it up because I had never known. It was performed by a woman named Mavis Staples, who is actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the R&B Hall of Fame. And she's still performing.
The person who sings the opening song?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
She collabed with like Prince and all these other people. She's like huge.
What a badass.
Yeah, she's really, really cool.
Oh man, can you imagine like collabing with Prince?
I know, right?
And then doing your favorite opening credits of all time.
That was probably why she got nominated to the Hall of Fame was this movie.
I wonder if Prince was a big Christmas Vacation fan.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I just want to shout out my girl who I just learned about, Mavis Staples, because she was awesome. The intro is so good. And it's the outro, actually. So the main theme of this movie is wicked good. And I finally learned her name and she's great.
See, I've never really heard her sing, though. That's the problem.
I want to look up more of her stuff. She has one of those NPR Tiny Desk concert things. We should watch that after this.
Oh, no, you just always sing over it.
Oh. So
I don't know what it sounds like.
That was good. You got me. You really got me right there.
I mean, it was Damn. A true statement. So. Oof,
bird. Okay.
I'm surprised, actually, I heard any of the lines for this movie, because I feel like you could have gone off and said them all.
I was, mouthing them the whole time.
I try not to look at you.
Yeah, just sitting there.
I spend most of
them.
My day trying not to look at you.
Ouch.
I'm just teasing you. That was a mean joke.
No, I appreciate it. I need to get my head in check sometimes, my ego. Well, give us the synopsis of this amazing Christmas movie.
It's hard because there's just so much, and I really don't want to have to outline everything, but I feel like every scene is important and funny.
That's a great point. It is stuffed to the brim with content.
Yeah.
There's not a wasted millisecond in the movie.
I think that you should lead us into our synopsis. I like how you know exactly what I was asking for. Yeah. So the movie opens with opening credits, and it's a little animated short of Santa Claus avoiding the Griswolds' house. Like, he's gone through his list and he's skipped over their house intentionally.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's bad news. So while delivering presents to the Griswolds, he gets run over by a rogue snowman. He gets electrocuted. He burns his booty on the fireplace. I think he breaks an ornament. Or a light and like step. Oh, that's how he electrocutes himself.
Climbing up the chimney, he gets electrocuted.
Yeah. And then he ends up launching through the roof and breaking through the shingles.
Also, the depiction of Rudolph is so good. With his nose being the light bulb that's like hooked up to like the radio cell phone thing. Oh, it's so good.
So
super
funny.
Creative.
But it's a good way to set the tone for the Griswolds really and how nothing goes smoothly whatsoever. No. I feel like every scene is iconic. I'm like, oh, and then we go to an iconic scene. And like, they're all iconic scenes.
That's what I said in the intro. You could literally pick any three scenes out of a hat from this movie and say they're the best. They're just all so good.
That's what we should have done, is just have a debate for the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
So we cut to the Griswolds. They're in the car. They're singing Christmas carols. Parents are into it, trying to make everyone have a good time. Kids are eye rolling in the back. They're driving to chop down their very own perfect Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our infamous road rage scene where they're getting tailgated and Clark's pride gets hurt and he's trying to cut them off and speed past them. And the, hey, look, kids, a deer. And he flips them the bird.
Yep.
Great scene.
So good.
If we ever have children, I'm definitely going to use that.
You're definitely using
that. Oh, look, a deer.
You are definitely going to use that.
See that airplane in the sky?
Yep.
To be honest, I hate to admit this, but I get road ragey.
You do a little.
I get a little feisty in the car. If someone, this is my biggest pet peeve, you're waiting in line for an exit and it is backed up, and then these people just fly past you with their blinker on and just cut off at the last second to get into the exit lane.
Yeah, when there's like a mile of people waiting for the exit. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It makes me see red.
Yeah, I've been there.
I've yelled at you before, like, get closer to their bumper. Don't let them in.
Yeah.
Because you're too kind. You let everybody in.
I don't know. I'm in no rush.
It's a good habit. I strive to be more that way. But in the moment, the logic does not compute for me. So I relate to Clark here. Anyway, it gets dangerous because he's trying to swerve around the car and then ends up underneath like an 18-wheeler tractor trailer that has logs on top.
Mm-hmm.
He's like under the undercarriage.
Pretty wild scene.
I'm actually impressed because it looks like someone actually did that stunt.
It really did look like that.
And you really have to maintain like...
perfect spacing.
Perfect spacing, yeah.
It really, really looks like somebody actually drove their truck under... or drove a car under that truck. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, no, I totally believed it in the moment.
Yeah.
So anyway, Clark then maneuvers them out from under the tractor trailer logging truck and then launches them over a snowbank into...
the Christmas tree lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Great shortcut. Right off the highway.
It was parkour. Parkour driving. Yeah, fastest, easiest way to get there.
Yeah.
So the family walks through the frozen countryside looking for the perfect tree. Clark obviously picks the most ridiculously huge one.
Yep.
Famous line of, she'll see it later, honey. Her eyes are frozen right now.
It's so good.
And then Russ being like, oh, Dad, where's... the axe, or where's the saw?
Yep.
So they have to, like, literally dig the tree roots out, and they put it on the car. So there's, like, all those oversized ornaments of, or all those ornaments of the car with the oversized tree on top.
Yeah.
And it's a classic Christmas gift.
It also gets a nice intro to the sound design of this movie. It's so good. When he's like, did you bring an axe? And it goes, boom. And then it has the, boom. It's just, it's so good. The music and the sounds really add to the movie a whole lot. It, like, adds to the comedy perfectly.
Wow, you really have this movie down.
I really do. I really, really
How
do.
How many times do you think you've seen this movie?
At least 20. Like, at the very least. 20? I wouldn't be surprised if it was more like 40.
That feels low to me. But you've only had, like, what, 30 Christmases? Not even.
Yeah.
29. This will be your 29th Christmas. So.
And I don't think I watched it when I was one.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So 20 is probably a good guess.
Yeah.
I've seen it probably like 4 times now.
Yeah, I've seen it much more than that.
It shows. It shows. So we get home. Clark is put in the tree in the house. This is when we're introduced to Margot and Todd. They're like hoity-toity neighbors, I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah.
Played by the wonderful Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah. Great foils to the Griswolds.
Oh my God. So wonderful. I don't know. Do we get into Margot and Todd? Like, I don't know what to do here in the synopsis. Are you going to want to talk about them later?
Yeah. I think we can. We'll dissect all of this later, I think.
Okay. So we meet Margot and Todd, complete opposites of the Griswolds, not really in the Christmas spirit. Really like their things in order.
Mm-hmm.
Clark likes to play it fast and loose.
Fast and loose.
Fast and loose. So Clark's putting the tree in the house. It's huge. When he unclips it to let the branches fall, he... the windows get broken, the branches
shatter,
are
all the windows
busting out of the house. We learn that Clark really wants to make this holiday special.
Mm-hmm.
He's invited both his parents and his wife Ellen's parents to their Christmas celebration this year.
Yep.
And his wife is like, Clark, I just want to make sure you don't get too overexcited. You build things up in your head and then get disappointed when they don't turn out the way you're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that Ellen really knows her husband well.
Really knows him well.
Mm-hmm. That's also that whole scene where he's like got all the sap on his fingers. And they're
I
laying
love
in bed
that.
With the magazine. It took me years to figure out what was going on there.
Oh yeah, the sap from the tree.
I didn't connect why his fingers were sticky. I thought, you know, when in magazines you open them up and there's like a little perfume sniffer.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
the glue there. Yeah. I don't know. I'm an idiot. So we get a flash of Clark at work. He works in the city.
This is where we get the advent calendar bit. And today is the 14th, December 14th.
Oh, thank you for tracking that. I did not track the dates.
This is the first time I really, really paid attention to the dates. So I want to clue you guys in. Today is the 14th, according to the advent calendar.
Okay. So we're like almost 10 full days before Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's at work. We find out that every year his company gives out a really big Christmas bonus. He's planning on putting in a swimming pool for his family.
Yep.
So he's really excited about that. We find out his boss is kind of grumpy.
Little bit.
He doesn't know Clark's name.
Calls him Mark.
Close. Yeah. At least it rhymes. So we're kind of introduced to this dynamic of his boss being a grump. He is like an entourage of people with
literal
him.
Entourage, marching in step.
Mm-hmm. And then Clark's got his whole famous, like, kiss your ass, kiss my ass too, or...
Kiss his ass, kiss my ass, kiss your ass.
Yeah. So we get all, you know, Clark's a little sassy in the workplace.
A little sassy.
He's not an angel. Immediately cut to the scene of Clark and his family, at least Russ and him, are Christmas shopping.
Yep.
We get the, what I consider a highly inappropriate scene.
Oh, wicked. Yeah.
Of Clark at the lingerie counter talking to the woman behind the counter about lingerie. And there's just so many puns about boobs.
Oh, so many innuendo. It's so good.
Oh, he's so nervous. He's like sweating actively and he's saying his wife is dead or divorced or I don't even know what he's trying to say.
God rest her soul. And then he's like, oh, no, we're divorced. He's so out of his league.
I'm offended on Ellen's behalf because Ellen is a wonderful fox. Wife and a fox. Yeah. Yes. So he doesn't need to be sniffing around the lingerie calendar with some other lady. So we get that scene. Flashback to the house, ding dong, doorbell of doom.
Yep.
All the grandparents are here.
So it must be like the 15th or the 16th or something. So they're there for a very long time. They're there for over a week. I can kind of understand how all this chaos happens now.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had guests for that long of a time.
It's pretty wild.
In our household. But immediately there's just so much activity. So Clark's parents come in, Ellen's parents come in. Everyone's talking about their health issues. Yeah. someone's shown a mole on their face. Someone's like, oh, they took a pint of fluid out of my back. Ellen's mom's talking about hemorrhoids.
So good.
I just love how they immediately get a medical update.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very realistic.
Yeah. Oh, it was so realistic. Immediate chaos and then like health updates.
And Clark is immediately like, well, family's here. I'm going to go outside and put the lights on. He dips immediately.
Yep. He says, I'll be outside for this season.
Again, iconic scene of Clark trying to put the lights up and like stapling his glove and his sleeve to the house, trying to untangle the lights with Russ.
Yep.
He messes with the ladder twice. He should be dead, probably.
He caught himself.
Barely. It made me nervous. We get another little Easter egg with Margo and Todd. He like launches an icicle through their window.
I don't know, Margo.
Why is the carpet wet, Todd?
I love the delivery there.
Oh, they're so good. So yeah, Clark almost falls off the roof. He puts like probably 100,000 lights on the house.
Oh, it's insane.
And no pattern at all. Like it's just hodgepodge mess.
No, it's straight lines. Just up and down every inch of the house.
Dude, did you see the area by the attic window though? It's just
that was pretty funny.
So Clark is super excited. He wants to have the whole family come outside and see the house lit up. So everyone comes outside in the cold. And unfortunately, Clark can't get the lights on. He can't figure out why it's not working.
His big project.
And his in-laws are kind of like shitting all over him. Mm-hmm. Like, see, kids, it's a waste of time. And then his dad is like, you know, what I would do, I'd personally go out and check every single light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
So his family is very supportive. But I like the shade his in-laws throw at him throughout the entire movie.
You can tell Ellen's dad hates him.
Absolutely.
He doesn't like him at all.
So disappointed in his daughter's choice of a partner.
100%.
But what blows my mind, though, is Clark is so much better than Cousin Eddie. And that's also his son-in-law.
Or son. I'm not super sure.
No, Catherine is their daughter. Catherine's Ellen's sister.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now.
So Eddie is also his son-in-law.
Yep.
And I don't really see a lot of hate spewed at Eddie.
They should. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Cut to the next day. Family's trying to do some last-minute shopping. Clark is trying to hide gifts in the attic. He gets stuck up there. The family leaves him, mm-hmm. and he's stuck in the cold attic. So there's a cute scene of him bundling up and watching some Super 8 home video footage from his childhood. He's kind of getting nostalgic and teary-eyed. It's a cute scene.
It's a really cute scene. And just to call out another tremendous talent, I never knew this song as well. It's The Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles is what's playing during this scene. And it's a really, really wonderful song.
It's a great song. This scene always makes me really emotional.
It does a good job of capturing the nostalgia of Christmas.
Because I just, it makes me sad for my childhood.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, the family finally gets home. Clark's out of the attic. He falls to the ceiling, straight up.
Yep.
He's an idiot.
That looks so painful.
Oh my
God.
He doesn't stand on the beams of the attic.
And then he sits on the opening thing.
I don't know why he does that.
Like, God.
Why is he the way he is?
I don't know.
So Clark, he's still working on the lights. He's trying to get it figured out. We find out the lights are actually synced up to the garage door light. So anytime someone flips the light switch in the garage, the lights go on or off.
Yep.
It was like a very funny back and forth of him getting frustrated why they're lighting up sometimes and not at others. Finally, the family sees the house lit up. It's beautiful. The lights getting turned on are so powerful it causes like a power outage for the neighborhood.
They have to turn the auxiliary nuclear power on. So over the top.
Crazy. So the family's admiring the lights and they're all outside and happy and Clark is crying tears of joy and relief. And all of a sudden, Cousin Eddie is like, oh yeah, it looks great. And Clark's like, Eddie, what are you doing here?
Yep.
Turns out Eddie and his wife, Catherine, who is Ellen's sister, as previously discussed, have arrived in their mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
They've driven it up there for the holidays with their daughter,
Ruby Sue,
and their son, Rocky?
Yep.
Rocky.
And their dog, Snots.
Most importantly. And they were not really invited.
No.
They were not invited, but they're gonna camp out in the driveway, Eddie and his wife, Catherine. They're going to bring out the rubber sheets and the gerbils while the kids sleep inside.
Just one great line here to highlight how unexpected this was. Cousin Eddie asks him if he's surprised to see him, and Clark says, if I woke up tomorrow with my head sewed to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am now.
Oh, so good.
It's so good.
Clark is shady.
Oh, yeah. He has good insults.
But he says them so, that's the beauty of his character. He says them so nonchalant, you don't know you're being insulted.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to the content.
Exactly. He does that a lot with Eddie, too, and it's always great.
I feel like a little bad for Eddie sometimes. A
little bad.
So, family settling in. They're drinking out of their iconic moose cups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another subtle, like, Clark shade is Clark's asking Ed, like, oh, do you need anything? More eggnog? Any, like, chestnuts? Can I drive you out to the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead?
Yep.
So casual. He's like, nah, Clark, I'm all set.
It's so good.
So we find out immediately that Clark and Eddie, well, Clark hates Eddie.
Yeah.
At the very least. Then we get that iconic sledding scene of Clark whizzing through the countryside on his speedy saucer.
Non-caloric silicone kitchen lubricant.
Which is his work product. He like sells that for work. So that makes me scared.
And right before this scene too, we did get another advent calendar shot. So today is the 18th. So 4 days have gone by. So I think the family got there either the 15th or the 16th.
That's early.
Yeah. And then Eddie got there the 17th.
Oh, and that's the other thing. Eddie's leaving next month in January.
Yeah.
It's going to be around a while.
Yep.
So Clark is having a rough time. The only thing getting him through right now is fantasizing about the pool that he's going to put in the backyard.
Yep. And one more advent calendar here. Now it's the 21st, so they skipped a few days.
Okay, so we're getting closer.
Yep, getting closer.
Clark is fantasizing about his pool, but he's also nervous because all of his work coworkers, he just had his last day at the office for the year, and no one's received their Christmas bonus yet.
Yep.
So he's getting pretty antsy about that. We find out from Ruby Sue that Santa Claus might not be coming this year for her and Rocky. Even though they were great this year, Santa Claus always skips their house.
Very sad.
Very sad. So Clark ends up talking with his wife, Ellen, and they agree that they want to help out Eddie with Christmas for the kids.
Yeah.
So we get like an iconic scene of, again, Clark and Eddie kind of bonding. We get the Merry Christmas shitters full scene.
Yeah.
Clark and Eddie go to the store together.
The face he's making there is so gross. It's so disgusting. Oh, God, he really acted it well.
He's also drinking a beer at, like, 9 in the morning.
And isn't he, like, smoking a cigar, too?
Yeah, smoking a cigar, drinking a beer. He's in a bathrobe and, like, his underwear.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
And he's dumping their mobile home's toilet into the sewer drain.
Todd goes out to go for a run, and he just stops dead in his track and turns right back and goes into his house. It's so good.
Yeah. We should point out that Clark was concerned about the sewer filling up with gas.
Yes.
From their toilet here.
Yep.
Anywho, Clark goes shopping with Eddie and he's like, you know, I want to help out with the kids. And we have that scene of Eddie like piling hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of dog food into Clark's cart.
And hundreds of pounds of dog food into Clark's cart.
Snots has got to eat.
Yeah.
And then this brings us to Christmas Eve. The family is finally gathering for Christmas Eve dinner.
Yep.
We meet Aunt Bethany and Uncle Lewis. There are some older aunts and uncles coming over. So now it's Aunt Bethany, Uncle Lewis, both sets of Ellen and Clark's parents, Eddie and Catherine, and then the two cousins and Clark and Ellen's children. So it's a full house.
Very, very full house.
Full house. We get the scene of Aunt Bethany bringing over gifts. She wraps up her jello mold and her cat.
Yeah.
We get the scene of the turkey coming out of the oven and it shriveling up because it's dry. And the whole family trying to eat it by dipping it in their wine glasses.
I love Eddie going, why are you crying? As she's like sobbing when the turkey rips open and it like has no meat inside of it. And just like showing how out of touch he was is so funny.
Save the neck for me, Clark. What else happens in this scene? Oh, Snots is coughing up a bone.
Yeah.
He got through the garbage. The cat that was in the present gets out. And unfortunately, the cat chews on the lights and gets electrocuted.
He goes to a farm upstate.
Yep. He does go to a farm upstate.
I hate that scene.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Lewis lights up his cigar, and the Christmas tree in the house ended up being really dry.
It erupts.
So it literally just goes up in flames.
Like, erupts.
So there's a lot going on. Things are not going right. Everything from the dinner itself is ruined to, like, the literal Christmas tree. Finally, though, a courier comes in, and he has an envelope for Clark. And Clark is, like, so excited. He's like, finally, my bonus is here. I've been on edge because I haven't gotten it yet. And I wanted to keep this as a surprise, but I'm putting in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of overextended my checkbook because I put the deposit down already.
And he's feeling like everything can be okay now. He can look past everything because that check is here.
He's the hero of Christmas. He's putting a pool in for the family. He's like, you know what? If this check is big enough, I'm going to fly everybody in for the opening of the pool. So the family is pretty excited. And then famously, he opens the card. And he does not get a bonus.
Nope.
He gets a subscription from his boss to the Jelly of the Month Club.
Tragic.
It is the gift that keeps on giving all year.
And the whole year round.
So this is where Clark kind of goes off. And he's like, anyone need a last minute gift idea for me? I would like to see Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
Plucked from his house on,
like, Melody Lane. Yeah. He's like, I want a bow on his head. I want to look him straight in the eye. And then he spews off a ton of insults that he wants to tell him to his face.
Really good insults.
He ends his whole monologue, which is phenomenal, with, hallelujah, holy shit, where is the Tylenol?
Yeah.
So good.
And this is one of the scenes where you're just like, Chevy Chase is so good. He's just so good. He delivers it in one really solid take. He has the emotion, the face, it's great. It's hilarious. Oh,
I feel like he's the anti-Steve Martin. Like, Steve Martin can do those monologues that are pretty funny, but he comes off as more good-natured.
Yeah.
And, like, Chevy Chase is, like, the dark version.
Yeah. You know?
It's like the evil twin.
It's a really, really good scene, though.
Oh, really good, phenomenal.
Scene. And, now that we're, like, spelling it out, like, literally the span of 30 minutes of real lifetime, like 30 minutes in their universe, every possible thing goes wrong.
Oh,
and it's about to get worse.
It does get worse. So Eddie takes off, but Clark is also snapped. So he goes outside and cuts down a tree from their yard and brings it in the house. It also breaks through Margot and Todd's window while he's doing this. He gets dressed up as Santa at some point, and he's just, like, acting crazy with a chainsaw. The whole family is trying to settle in the living room, and they hear some squeaking sounds. surprise, surprise, there's a squirrel in the tree. Snots chases the squirrel. The whole house gets destroyed.
Demolishes.
China cabinets go down. The dog runs across the dinner table.
He breaks through the doors. He just runs right through them.
It kind of culminates with, like, Margo having enough with Clark and going over to give him a piece of her mind. And then the door opening and Snots, like, attacking her straight up.
Yep.
Because he's chasing the squirrel.
Jumps onto her. Snots jumps onto her and the squirrel. Awful.
And it's just over. The family is trying to leave. Clark is like, you can't go. We're already at the threshold of hell.
Yeah.
He's trying to convince him to stay. He has an outburst. Clark's dad kind of has a heart-to-heart with him here and, like, hey, you're the man of the house. You need to set an example for the family.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't acting well tonight. You got to get it together.
He tells him, you're too good a father to act like this, which I really like that line.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
So the family settles down. Clark kind of comes to his senses. They're reading The Night Before Christmas, which apparently is a family tradition, which is actually a family tradition at my house as well.
That's a good tradition.
Mm-hmm. My grandma reads The Cajun Night Before Christmas.
Mm.
It's pretty good. Santa Claus, instead of reindeer, has crocodiles.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm going to look that up.
It's pretty good. When all of a sudden, Eddie comes in with a surprise present for Clark. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Clark. It's his boss.
Yep.
It is his boss, Frank Shirley, with a bow on his head
in his pajamas.
Just like he wanted. Ellen has a great line where she's like, oh, this is our family's first kidnapping.
Yeah.
It just comes to light that, you know, Eddie got ahead of himself. Clark was upset because the bonuses didn't come through and how that's affecting the family. Like, hey, you know, I'm not mad you cut it, but you got to tell us we rely on this as part of our salary. And Frank Shirley kind of has a moment where he's like, okay, it looks good in theory on paper to cut bonuses, but it does affect real people and I'm going to reinstate them. Unfortunately, Frank's wife called the police and like the SWAT team and like everybody in the world reporting a kidnapping. So finally, the house is destroyed forever, probably, by
literally
SWAT coming in through the windows.
They literally climb up on the roof and rappel down and kick in the windows. It's so excessive.
So funny. Everyone's held at gunpoint.
Yep.
Pretty much. They find out it's a big misunderstanding. Frank's reinstating bonuses for everyone. He's adding 20% to Clark's bonus.
Which is substantial.
Yeah, he faints.
Yep.
So everyone goes outside and Uncle Lewis, who's a big smoker, throws his cigar into the sewer, which Eddie had previously filled with human excrement, and there's a lot of gas, and the whole thing blows up.
Yep.
And the little Santa Claus and reindeer toy out front just flies into the sky like the real Santa Claus. And then Aunt Bethany sings the Star Spangled Banner.
Naturally.
And says, play ball.
And that's how the movie ends. Ridiculous. And then we get the rehashing of the Christmas Vacation song.
Yes. Yes. And honestly, my biggest complaint of this whole movie.
Yeah.
We never saw Christmas.
No, it ends on Christmas Eve.
You never see what Christmas is like for the family.
I know. Oh, man. I mean, great job on that synopsis. This is an impossibly hard movie to do a synopsis on because it's just jam-packed.
There's so much.
It's jam-packed.
Everything is, like you said, everything could be picked out as the best scene of the movie.
It's so, so, so funny. What are some of your favorites, though?
Scenes?
What are maybe jokes? Like, what, like, stuck out to you as just, like, this is so funny?
I mean, it's honestly really hard. I would say any insult that Clark gives to Eddie is hilarious. They're all great. Like, the leave you out in the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead.
Yep.
So good. And they go right over Eddie's head every time.
What is it? The tenement on wheels?
Yeah, he calls his RV a tenement on wheels, which is so rude.
Yep.
So rude. I mean, those are really funny and hilarious. I would say, though, even though it's not a Clark Griswold scene, any scene with Margo and Todd is my favorite.
Yeah. And before, when I used to watch it, those were just kind of like, oh, haha, funny scenes. But like I said, I was trying to be more critical in this time. And what I loved about those is every scene that they were in was a perfect foil to whatever the Griswolds were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It made me appreciate them even more, like thinking about why those scenes were there. They were really funny.
Yeah. Like my favorite scene, too, is like Margo and Todd are sitting down on Christmas Eve They're drinking a pitcher of margaritas. Yeah. They're talking about, oh, are you a little bit teensy tiny, idiot bit regretful we didn't get a tree this year, even though they're so messy and sappy and dirty.
Yep.
And Todd's like, no, no regrets at all. And then Clark cuts down a tree from his yard and it crashes through their window.
As they're having the conversation, which is just that perfect foil.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of culminates with, there's so much chaos in the Griswolds. You think that they're all miserable, but they're able to come together as a family and be happy and have a holiday. And then Todd and Margot, they have this beautiful, pristine,
home,
easy life,
and
right?
A routine, and they're exercising and scheduling out their sessions of lovemaking.
Like, everything about their life is like the exact opposite of the Griswolds, and their relationship gets pushed too far and they don't make it.
Well, I'm assuming they don't. There's some domestic violence going on in that household. She literally punches Todd in the face.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus threw a great punch there. Really great punch.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
And those scenes are so good in a very large part because she is just so damn funny.
She's tremendous.
She's so funny.
Oh, yeah. Any scene. I mean, like, the scene, too, of them trying to figure out why their stereo is broken and the carpet is wet because Clark launched an icicle through their window onto their stereo is hilarious.
And that's something this movie does great, is it takes absurd things. Like the fact that he was hanging off the roof, happened to grab the gutter, it ripped off in just the right way to launch a icicle, like, rail through their window and break their stereo is just absurd.
But then the evidence melts away and they have no freaking idea what happened.
But, like, somehow the way the movie pulls off these crazy absurd things, it just works. It works. Like, I don't know. It doesn't take you out of the film. You don't really roll your eyes at it. You're just like, this is really funny. It really works.
To be honest, if our neighbor launched an icicle through our window into your office and, like, hit your computer, and we didn't know what happened, we probably would get into a tiff.
Yeah. I don't know, Margot. Oh, love that line.
Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, those are probably my favorite scenes. I would say, too, like, if I had to pick a Clark scene, I really couldn't even tell you. They're just all good. It's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah, it's wicked hard. I think, in general, something I love about the humor, but all of the scenes, is the attention to detail is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the one that we talked about, I think, in the intro was them dipping their turkey in the water because it was so dry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, all of the background actors and stuff always have great facial reactions. They're a really wonderful part of the scene.
Yeah.
Like,
Ellen, like, pretending to, like, lick her lips because things are so delicious is so funny. Gets me every time.
Like, it's not the Chevy Chase show. He's really funny. He's super great. But everybody in this film comes together and makes it a wholesome, like, whole group effort to make it so good.
Oh, the in-laws are, like, one of my favorite characters. All the parents, like, the grandparents. I just think they portray so well, like, Clark's parents are so overly supportive of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we can see how much effort you put into life. It's okay that it doesn't work. We know you tried your best. And just seeing, like, her immediately showing Clark his mole and, like, coming up close to his face and squeezing his cheeks, and then his in-laws wanting literally nothing to do with him and just insulting him on every level.
Yep.
Like, at one point when they're going shopping and they leave Clark behind, Ellen's dad is like, he's got a car. He can meet us there if he really wants to join, and doesn't even let Ellen go look for him.
Nope.
So funny.
And they're very, like, surface level. Like, Ellen's mom is, like, always dressed to the nines and, like, high fashion, I guess, you know, like, she's a very fashionable woman. And but, like, the surface level of her, like, personality really comes out when she sees Ruby Sue, and she's so excited to see her, and then she goes, her eyes aren't crossed anymore. She's, like, disappointed that she's not, like, that unique anymore. You know, it's just everybody has their own personality. It comes across really well. It's really funny. It's unique. But all, like we've been saying, like, those characters make the movie what it is.
That is not how I interpreted the eyes uncrossed scene.
That's totally how I interpreted it.
I interpreted it like she was excited that her eyes, like, aren't screwed up for life.
Her face to me looks really disappointed. Oh, like, she, like, immediately, like, withdraws and, like, has a sad face, I thought.
Oh, I thought she was excited for her.
Oh, maybe. I always thought that she was disappointed.
Oh my gosh. That's a little darker than I interpreted it. A little dark. Also, though, like, my every time I watch this movie, I come away thinking this, and then I get surprised every year.
Mm-hmm.
Russ is one of, like, he's like the best character
in the
movie.
He's so good. And oh my god, we discovered this last night, who Russ is in real life.
Well, in not in real life, in but real his life? Future acting career. He is Leonard from The Big Bang Theory.
It blows my mind.
Later goes to portray Leonard.
It literally blows my mind. But I'm excited about it because I think, like you were saying, he's so damn good in this movie. He's so, so, so funny. I'm happy that he was able to continue an acting career. I always get nervous with child actors, you know? But he is ridiculously funny
in this movie. He crushed it. I like how he portrays a kid who still really loves his dad, but is also becoming an adult and realizes his dad is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he kind of is protective of his feelings and supportive of him, but also throwing shade at his dad too, just like Clark does.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a mini Clark in some ways. I just love where when Clark is like, I gotta go and check every light bulb when the house isn't light up, and Russ is like, oh gee, look at the time. I gotta go feed the hog and do my homework.
Yep.
And brush my teeth. Like he lists
do
up,
the
like,
laundry, wash the car.
Anything he'd rather do than help his dad outside.
Yeah. Oh, man. And he really does a great job. His facial expressions are great when he gets the big knot of light bulbs dropped in his lap. And
mm-hmm.
He's really good. Very, very funny part of the movie, but also endearing. Like when he sticks up for his dad when Shirley's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, when you treat us like this, it, and then Russ goes, sucks. And he like nods to his dad like, yeah, which is really sweet.
I think he plays earnest and also kind of like chagrin, like very well, you know?
He's like budding into Clark's humor.
Yes.
Really well.
I think he's actually a really good mix of Ellen and Clark's character.
Yeah.
That brings me to one of my dislikes, though. I wish we got more of Audrey.
Yeah, she's like barely in the movie at all.
No, they don't give her any time really at all.
Yeah. She basically doesn't exist.
No, and I'm sad because they gave Russ a lot of room, which I enjoyed, and I just wanted to see more. I think she's a family member we see the least of, besides maybe Rocky. And the scenes that Audrey was in, she was really good. I just feel like they didn't write a lot of stuff for her.
No. Her shivering with her eyes frozen, or what a scene.
Also the scene where she's also comforting her dad when the lights don't go on. She's like, it looks really good, Dad, even with the lights off. Like, I thought she did a good job.
He worked really hard, Grandma.
Yeah. I like that the kids even pick up that her mother's parents don't like Clark.
Oh, yeah,
because kids
sure.
are so intuitive, they do catch on to that. So I like that they catch on to that in the movie.
Another family member, especially on this watch, that I just really adored was Ellen, Clark's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was written really well, and she acted it really, really well as well. She was a great mix of supportive, but not over the top. She was her own person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her character wasn't Clark's wife.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I really love that, especially for when this movie came out in the late 80s. I don't think that was like a typical role for the wife of the main character to play. I think she acted it really well, but was also written really nicely, which was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I feel like you said, she was very supportive, but she was also kind of a realist with him. And we saw that right from the beginning, mm-hmm. where she was like, don't build this up in your head. He's like, when have I ever done that? And she's like, birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, funerals.
Yep.
Like, so she gives it to him straight. And also, another thing that I was thinking about on this rewatch is her Christmas Eve outfit is iconic. It's an iconic look for me.
Yeah, she looks great.
She has like this green satin skirt on and then this white blouse that has like a keyhole opening. So, I mean, her boobs look good. And it's very
Christmassy.
She's a fox,
I said it.
She's got like a little Christmas wreath pin on top.
Yeah.
Like it's a look. It's a whole Christmas look.
Yeah.
So that really stood out to me as one of my likes. I don't know if I'd wear that. It's a little too 80s for me.
Yeah.
But I still love it.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like the set design, the costume design, all of it was just totally on point.
Oh, the set design was amazing.
Totally on point.
And the snow didn't look fake. You know, some movies you watch the snow looks real fake.
They might have just waited for winter and filmed it. Like, it seemed like real snow, potentially, which is kind of wild.
I do have, like, a general complaint, though. People didn't really wear a lot of winter layers to my liking, just because it's very cold in Chicago, especially in December. And Clark was just out in like a flannel shirt and jeans at one point.
That wasn't in any way unrealistic to me.
I don't know. That just seemed, it seemed like not enough.
Oh, man. I think it was a pretty thick flannel from the looks of it, but
I was concerned, especially because he's up there after dark. It gets cold when the sun sets.
Another duo I do want to call out was Aunt Bethany and Uncle Lewis. We're really good. They had a much, like, if I just, like, play the movie in my head, I always kind of forget that they're pretty big characters after they're introduced.
They cause a lot of drama on Christmas Eve. They cause a lot of the problems.
But they're really good. They're really funny. I love those characters.
And Bethany made me sad a little bit.
Yeah.
Because she's getting older and having trouble remembering. And that, I feel like most people have someone in their family that's kind of going through some memory issues.
Yeah.
And it's hard, especially on the holidays, when people are having trouble remembering names or why they're there. And they kind of made it a jokey thing, which is fine. I think, like, it added some lightness to it, but it also made it pretty relatable for, I would imagine, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Seeing older relatives kind of age.
Yeah. No, that for sure. For sure.
And, like, I'm not saying they should have taken it seriously at all. I'm just saying it added some lightness to a very real problem for, I think, a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
So that made me a little sad. That's not a dislike, though.
Yeah.
You know? The last thing I want to call out that I explicitly like is any scene with Eddie is hilarious.
God. Yeah.
Any scene with Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more to say. They're just hilarious. They're perfect. Ridiculous. Over the top. Wicked funny. He has really great deadpan humor.
Yep. I mean, I really hate his character, but everything he does is absolutely hilarious.
Like when he says he has the plastic under his head and he says, if this gets dented, my hair is just not going to look right. And it's just like, no, like if this gets dented, that means that plastic has ruptured your brain and you're probably going to die. You know, like the way he delivers it is amazing. Super deadpan.
Yeah. My favorite Eddie scene, though, is just Clark and Eddie talking in the living room when he first gets there. And he's in his, like, leisure suit. And you can see, like, the fake turtleneck shirt underneath. Because there's, like, a square under his shirt that you can see.
Oh, man. He's so gross.
And he's just, like, knocking all the decorations over and letting the dog drink out of the water.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Clark, don't worry about him. Tree water won't hurt him. You know? It's just...
Talking about the yak lady.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really funny. The dynamic between Eddie and Clark is really good. It's really, really well written, well acted. They had great on-screen chemistry, but they also played off of each other really well. The comedic timing, perfect.
And I love how, like, Eddie is supposed to be this big kind of, like, idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up resolving all the conflicts in the family.
He does, actually. That's a great point.
Yeah, he solves everything and brings the family together by kidnapping Frank Shirley. In the most, like, idiotic way possible, he does solve the problem. So I like that there's that closure kind of with Eddie and Clark in some ways.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at it that way, and you're super right. That's really funny.
He's a problem solver. He's direct. Yeah. He's like, Clark asked for something that he wants, and I went and I did it.
Yep, that's really funny. Yeah, that's a great catch. Because Clark puts all this effort in to, like, solve problems and, like, he's trying to do all this work to make the perfect holidays and Eddie kidnaps somebody and he saves the day.
For real.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I love it.
Yep. Any other likes for you?
I just want to say it one more time. I really, really loved the foil between the Griswolds and Todd and Margot. I think it was kind of fun. The Griswolds are... the heroes of the film. I don't know if hero is the right word, but, you know, they're the protagonists. You're supposed to, they're the lovable oafs that have a harrowing experience or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they you're supposed to like them. But I like how they keep accidentally screwing over their neighbors. And it, like, it does bring it back into reality a little bit where you're like, I don't think I would want to live within 8 blocks of them. Because they are just chaos.
Well, and Clark is actually kind of a dick to
them. Yeah. He's not that great. Like, he's not
bend a over good person. And I'll show you.
And so it kind of, like, levels it out a little bit, which I really like. And, yeah, it's just, I got a lot of out of those scenes on this watch that I hadn't gotten recently, and I really enjoyed it.
For like a family holiday like comedy, I feel like we got pretty well-rounded characters.
In such like a very short complex time.
Characters, you know,
like really complex.
You feel for Clark, but he's kind of an asshole. Same with Eddie.
Yep.
Same with the neighbors, right? They're kind of douchey and elitist, right? But you do feel bad for them. Their house is getting destroyed by the people that they live next to. You can see why they're salty.
They probably had like 50 seconds of screen time. Like, it's very little screen time, and you got a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen has a ton of layers. Russ does. Like, even in her very limited time, Audrey has character. Like, you can say things about her, you know? Mm-hmm. They do have, like, not necessarily like overly complex characters, right? Like, but for the amount of, for an, what is it, 97 minute movie or something like that?
And there's a big cast.
And a ton of people, yeah.
It's not like there's a big cast, but there's only three or four people you really see a lot. Like, you kind of, there's a lot of screen time with a lot of the family.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know everyone in the family that came to Christmas Eve. Like, I could talk a little bit about each of them, you yeah. know? So not an easy feat.
No, and I really like that. Oh, and that's a great point. Like, Ruby Sue is super cute. I love her character. Oh,
I love her.
Sorry.
Shit and rocks. Shit and rocks, shit and bricks.
Yeah, just really good.
Any dislikes?
Yeah, so I have one that I'm kind of mixed on, because I enjoy these scenes, but, like there's some cheap humor. Like, when he keeps stepping on the boards in the attic and getting slapped in the face by them. It's, like, that classic, like, rake gag from, like, cartoons and stuff, you know? It was a little bit cheap. I didn't dislike it, but like, if I'm trying to take this really seriously, I look at those and I was like, you probably didn't need them.
I think you're scarred from Home Alone.
Maybe. Like, it's funny. Like, it was funny, and Chevy Chase acted it well. Like, he acted getting hit in the face by 2x4s over and over pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you probably didn't need them. And then the two things that I disliked.
Okay.
That I think didn't age well. I should say. The green screen for the sledding scene, mm-hmm. as well as Santa flying in front of the moon after Lewis blows up the sewer.
Yeah.
Didn't age very well. You could very obviously tell it was green screen. It's not like a bad thing, right? But it didn't age well. It was obvious. And then I hate the cat scene.
The cat getting fried.
I hate it.
It's a cute little kitten.
Yeah.
I covered Charlie's eyes.
When we first got our first Christmas tree, with Charlie, I was really, really, really nervous about her chewing on the lights.
I don't think it's a real fear to have, though.
I've watched this movie like 40 times, so it's a pretty real fear to me.
I don't think that's based in reality of what actually happened.
I know, but it just made me nervous.
She doesn't chew on the wires, though.
She's no, she fine. Doesn't. But I was terrified of it that first year. She didn't I was like, really, super terrified.
She didn't even bother with the tree, really.
Every time I plugged it in that year, I looked for
chew marks.
Yeah.
I actually never knew this about you. I never knew you did that.
I don't like that scene. That's my Aww. Actual only dislike about it. Is I don't like the cat scene.
You're making me sad for Sweet Charlie.
Yeah.
Happy sad that you did that, but kind of sad you were suffering in silence and I never knew you were doing that.
I'm okay. I just admit, you know, I love our cat and it makes me sad that the cat in this movie got erupted.
A lot of anxiety to carry through a whole Christmas season of checking the lights.
Yeah, but she's fine. It's not a real movie. It's just, I don't like that scene. I don't think it really needed to be there, that the cat died and, like, literally, like, exploded. And, like, left a crater in their yard, in their house. Like, it's funny, but I don't like it. I don't like animals dying.
Fair enough.
What about you, though? What don't you like about the movie?
I feel like every time we talk about this, I feel like I'm going to be called a prude, but like, I didn't really enjoy the checkout, the scene of them at the laundry counter.
Mm.
I just felt like Clark came off pretty skeezy and like he was kind of sexually harassing someone in the workplace while she was doing her job.
In her workplace, not
in
his
her workplace. Yes. Like,
yeah.
All the slip of the tongue boob puns and he's like sweating and I don't know. It's just like, I can imagine if I were working somewhere and I just would have felt uncomfortable. And I know she kind of like leaned into it for a sale and that's fine. It's her choice.
Yeah.
But he just came off as skeezy. I don't mind his little fantasy in his brain. He can think about whatever he wants. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to control what he's thinking about. The whole pool scene is fine. But every time I watch the counter scene, I just get sad because I feel like it kind of, it's not out of line with Clark's character, maybe, because he kind of is a little bit of a dick, but it just makes me sad, especially because, you know, Russ is there. He's like, oh, yeah, look, Russ, no lines. And then he
Russ rolls his eyes like he had seen it before.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
it's not like a strong dislike or anything like that, but it always that scene always stands out to me when I rewatch it.
It was like a little bit objectifying of that woman in that scene. Like, if you're taking, like, the way that the scene was written, if you're taking it as, like, the main character is going shopping and sees a beautiful woman, like, the reason she was added to the script was, like, to be an object of desire.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And he handles it poorly. It's not even, like, he just handles it really poorly and talks about a bit nipply outside, I'm just blousing. She's like, do you want me to take something out for you? And his face is, like, shocked, like, she's gonna whip out her boob or something, you know?
Like, it's a funny scene. It has good jokes and stuff, but it's, I definitely can agree that that probably didn't age that great.
Like, she's at work, you know, she was trying to make a sale.
Yeah.
So
I think they fairly and accurately have Clark come off as gross there, which is important.
Yeah, they're not glorifying his behavior, you know?
But, like, as a whole, that scene is still kind of icky. Yeah, I definitely can agree with that.
It's just that scene always stands out to me every time I watch it. And, like, later the scene where it's like he's fantasizing about the pool and he's imagining her there, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Think about whatever you want, you know?
Cousin
Eddie. Your brain is your playground.
Sorry.
What?
Cousin Eddie throwing his towel into the pool kills me every time. Just like, why? But at the same time, I see it and I'm like, 100% I can believe that this person would do that in this situation. For no discernible reason, swing his towel over his head and then throw it in the water.
I just love it's so how funny. In Clark's fantasy, Cousin Eddie is wearing a muscle t-shirt tucked into a leopard print Speedo. Yeah. It's tucked in. It's tucked in.
If we ever put in a pool, that's how I'm christening it. I'm wearing that outfit for our first swim.
Oh my god, I'll buy you that outfit if you do that. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Man.
Anything else?
Yeah, I said it before, but I just wish we saw more of Audrey.
Yeah.
That's my only other dislike. I feel like they didn't give her character a fair shake. But outside of that, honestly, I didn't really dislike anything.
Yeah. It's just so damn funny. It's packed to the brim, but it's not exhausting somehow. They like find little ways to give you slower scenes that are still funny, but give you breathing room. They use all the characters. It's a surprisingly complex like piece of literature in a way because of the foil with the characters. Like,
it's hilarious.
It's nostalgic. It's got great music. Like, God, what else could you ask for, really?
Honestly, nothing. It's a pretty good Christmas. I mean, this might be my favorite Christmas movie, and I feel like I can't say that because I didn't grow up watching it and you introduced it to me. But
yeah, you're allowed.
It's so good.
Gates are open. Come on in. I love it. I really, really, really love it.
I don't know how I didn't watch this more as a kid.
I don't know either.
But we actually were talking about this movie at work, and someone I work with said it was one of those bad Christmas movies you love to watch, and I disagree with that statement so strongly.
Oh my god. I hate that they said that.
What is a better Christmas movie to watch?
It's not bad. It's a good story. It's well acted. It's really, really funny. It's not one of those movies that like sucks, but you're like in the mood to watch trash. Like, I think this, I honestly, truly believe my honest take. Again, like, I'm not a movie reviewer, but trying to put myself in those shoes. Like, I honestly think that this is a great movie. So it's a wine, by the way. But I honestly, truly believe that this is a great standalone movie and a great Christmas movie.
This is a Christmas champagne for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Like I said, I literally don't know what you could add to it.
I have very cheap taste in champagne, for the record, but I do enjoy it. But it feels like it's definitely a holiday movie. Like, I don't have any desire to watch this movie not around Christmas time.
I've done it. It's fun.
But this is one that I do watch every single year. This is like a necessity of Christmas. So
I don't think we've missed it a single year since we started dating.
I might not have seen it with you when we weren't doing Christmases together.
Maybe.
But since we started living together, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah. Like I said, I think this is a wine. It sounds like you do too, because you said it was a Christmas champagne.
Yeah, that's me saying champagne is wine.
Yeah, I know. I was just double checking.
You want it on the record?
I want it on the record, official. Yeah. And so I know if I can add in the sound effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as I think I made this pretty obvious, I would recommend this to absolutely anybody. Even if you like Christmas isn't your thing or like your experience that you grew up with, I really think that this is a good enough movie to hold on its own. It's like light on the Christmas. It's not over the top. Everything about it is Christmas. So I think it kind of can stand even without that.
Yeah, I think if someone's open to viewing it as like, this is just a family gathering.
Yeah.
Gone awry. You know what I mean? It feels like Christmas is just an excuse to be the family in this particular case, you know? But yeah, it's great. I would recommend it.
I would say like maybe don't watch it with your 5-year-old, but like your 10-year-old.
There's some adult themes.
Cover their eyes when the scene you were talking about happens, and cover your ears when he's going on a tangent about his boss.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, so that actually is going to be a wrap for our 2020.
We started this podcast in October, and since then we have done at the very least one episode per week. Many weeks we have done 3 episodes per week. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to take 1 week off. Our next episode will be January 4th, which happens to be my birthday. So I'm a little bit jealous because you get to nominate our next movie, which is on my birthday.
Yeah, I know. And I just realized that I have a nominated movie.
Yep.
I've been teetering between 2 different movies.
Okay.
Both of which are action movies.
Okay.
One maybe an action horror.
Action horror.
One action sci-fi.
Okay.
So since it's your birthday and I have 2...
Sci-fi.
You want action sci-fi?
Yeah.
Not action horror?
Yeah, I'm in the mood for some sci-fi.
Okay. I want to do The Terminator.
Awesome.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I definitely know the second one more than I know the first. So We're going to do the first one. Cool. If this is your first one, the first time watching it ever, we got to start from the jump.
I'm really excited to watch this. This feels blasphemous for me to say because I'm pretty big into sci-fi. I've somehow never seen the Terminator movies.
I love them. I mean, I really haven't seen the first one very often. I've seen 2 and 3 the most, mm-hmm. but they're pretty good. I grew up with a lot of action movies in my household, so I'm like really excited to bring this one to the table.
Yeah. And from what I know about this film and the series that spawned from it, it has pretty solid lore around it. Like, mm-hmm. it's one of those sci-fi movies that's got a lot of quotes and action and are obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like it and like big explosions and stuff from what I know about it. But what I'm really excited about is to learn about the lore.
The world building is good.
Yeah. My understanding is there's like a scientist, Sarah Connor, and she's like the only one that can save the world.
Yeah, so AI is going to take over.
Yeah, and so the robots come back from the future to kill her before she can do that, basically, and that's the whole premise of the film. That's about all I know about it, and I'm really, really pumped to get engrossed. I feel like I'm going to watch this and want to watch all of them.
Yeah, I think the only thing, though, is they don't really want Sarah Connor. They want her son. So they come back to her, I think, when she's pregnant with her son.
Is that the first?
They want him to stop from being born.
Or the second?
I think that's the first, and then her son is a little older.
And they come back for him later.
In the second one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to watch this. The good pick for my birthday. I'm excited. Good pick.
It's good. And I've been wanting you to watch Terminator for a while. We were eating out somewhere once and the Terminator was on. And I was like, oh my God, this movie, it was the second one.
Yeah, it was.
And I was getting really excited about it. And we were trying to watch it. And you're like, no, we can't eat here anymore. We got to get it to go. I don't want any spoilers. And that was like 6 months ago. No, more than that.
Well, over 6 months ago.
The pandemic. So.
Yeah, well over 6 months ago. Yeah, I'm excited. But like I said, we're taking a 1 week break. There will not be an episode on the Monday that is 3 days from when this episode comes out. Sorry for the little break, but we've been busy. We're going to enjoy our holidays a little bit. So our next episode will be January 4th.
Yeah, take a little break. And then as Kyle so famously pointed out during our drink break, there's a lot going on this week for us between holidays and his birthday. So
yep, and New Year's. Well, I guess that's a holiday.
Yeah, that's definitely a holiday.
But thank you guys so much for listening, especially to our full Christmas week. This is a big one. We threw a lot of movies at y'all, so thank you for listening. I had a ton of fun with it. I hope you did too.
I'm excited for next Christmas now because I feel like we missed so many good movies. That's movies there are. We can just do a Christmas movie podcast, probably.
Honestly, you could probably go a full year of it.
Yeah, so. Anyway, yeah, if you want to give us any feedback or reach out, our Twitter handle is at Wine or Milk. You can find us on Instagram at Wine or Milk Podcast. We have a website, www.wineormilkpodcast.com. We have a Gmail. You can send us an email at wineormilkpodcast@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page that if you're interested, you can like for updates. And that's Wine or Milk.
Yeah, facebook.com/WineOrMilk.
Yeah, that one I'm not familiar with at all.
And especially if you have any recommendations for upcoming movies, we'd love to hear. We just did our first listener episode a couple weeks ago, which was really, really fun. And we want to do another one soon. So if you have any recommendations, let us know. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, happy holidays.
Happy 2021. It's finally over. 2020 is over.
Thank God.
We have a new year. So we'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side.